The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 15. Jesus called the crowd to him. He said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. Have mercy on me. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have I mentioned lately how much I love this church? It's because you get what I'm about to say. The Pharisees were on Jesus' case because his disciples didn't wash their hands properly. Well, the Pharisees were always on Jesus' case about these things that we call nitpicking. But in the Old Testament, there are scads of those nitpicking laws. They served their purpose in their day, perhaps for hygiene, perhaps for community. Hand washing was a big deal. You had to use a certain bowl, you had to use water for this, but not mix it with that, and different foods had to have different bowls, and it was complicated. And there were people in Jesus' day who thought, if I can just get all those nitpicky things right, then we'll be right with God. And they missed the forest for the trees, as they say. And Jesus pointed it out to them. He said, it's not what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean. At least not with God. It's not whether you eat the sacrificial animals or not. It's not whether you eat pork or not, or shellfish or not. Not whether you've washed your hands appropriately. And of course, you can translate these dietary laws into other biblical laws that people slam each other with. But Jesus said it's not what goes into the mouth. It's what comes out. Because what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And the things that defile us are the things that are festering in our heart that happen to come out in our mouth and in our actions. And he listed some. He said, evil intentions. You can wash your hands all day long. But if you have evil intentions in your heart, if you wish someone ill, you're defiling yourself. Of course we know murder, adultery, those are in the top 10, as we call them. Cheap sex, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. The things that fester in the heart, anger and resentment, that show themselves in words and actions. Our Old Testament lesson is one of those places where the prophets highlight what God loves. And it wasn't all about keeping insiders on the inside. This Old Testament lesson talks about justice. Maintain justice and do what is right. This is what God loves. And then he says, thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel. Who gathers the outcasts. Do you see? The prophets speak about this more often than we ever understand. The Lord God loves the outcast. Which is good news for all of us, because outside of the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, we would all be outcasts. But still, sometimes Christians want to define who's in and who's out themselves. Have you said this certain prayer? If you have, then you're not an outcast. We all know we are saint and sinner at the same time, all the time. And we, the outcasts, like to welcome other outcasts in. That's what we're called to do. And so as we continue on in the gospel lesson, after Jesus has this severe conversation regarding the Pharisees' question, Jesus has an odd conversation with the Canaanite woman. Now, they're talking about washing and cleaning and defiling and all of that, those things, but now he comes across this Canaanite woman. And if you lived in that day and time, you would know that the Canaanites are the great unwashed. A regular Jewish person wouldn't be talking to them at all. But she's in Syria now. Jesus is in Syria. And this woman approaches him, seeking out help. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. And this is really significant because even the disciples and the Pharisees aren't calling him Son of David yet. They don't recognize him for who he is. But this Canaanite woman does. Have mercy on me. My daughter needs help. And this is maybe one of the most awkward places in the Bible for people who try to interpret the Bible. Because we don't know if Jesus is intentionally being rude to her, or if this is some kind of a literary device to set up a story. But Jesus doesn't even reply to her. He meets her need with silence. And the disciples are saying, send her away. She keeps shouting out to her, she's a nuisance. Send her away. But she persists. Lord, help me. And he says, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. He's kind of talking like a Pharisee. But she retorts, she says, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. This woman knows Jesus has power. Even the crumbs from the table. I will take the crumbs from Jesus' table because they have power. And Jesus says, woman, great is your faith. And the daughter was healed. Persistence and justice. They go hand in hand. Isaiah says, maintain justice. Do what is right. For soon, my salvation will come. And the outcasts will be included. And so when we are tempted to judge someone, we must not. Because we are representatives of the one who has the power to heal. Whether it's healing relationships, healing hearts, physical healing, emotional healing. We are representatives of the one who has the power to heal. And that is the best of the good news. When we go out the doors, back into the world, a world that can't make sense of the pain and distress that it suffers. A world in which another unarmed black teenager was murdered. And that's just the one that made the news. A world where people can't solve their problems peacefully. And there's war here and war there and war there. Distrust, mistrust. We are representatives of Jesus. Even among people we disagree with. And that's why I am so proud of this church, whose council, when the school teacher said, we need a big space, we need space, can we use your space? To a person, our church council said, yes. Not because we're taking sides, but because we want there to be justice. And perhaps this is a place where people can work out differences and do so under the umbrella of a space created to give glory to God. This is the place, as Julie highlighted so beautifully, that welcomes the hungry. I've been telling people this week, I've been thinking a lot about Pastor Jeff Clement's sermon a couple weeks ago about the feeding of 5,000. And it's been sticking in my head, his comment that, you know, those people weren't that far from home. Maybe Jesus fed them because they didn't have food at home. And I've been thinking about our food pantry, and I know sometimes some of our members get a little anxious when we get close to the end, because what happens with that food pantry most weeks when we serve people is the volunteers have sort of a prescribed amount of food that they give per person per household. And most weeks, we just about empty the food pantry. And you know, that's a little uneasy because everybody likes to have a little backup. But I've begun to start thinking of that as maybe that's just our response to our prayer when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Is when we bring our food, it's enough to feed the people who also come for food. But on Tuesday night, well, before Tuesday, the teachers asked, you know, we have some money in our budget, can we pay you rent to use the space? And I said, no, we don't want to appear to profit from the community's misfortunes. And they said, what can we do then? And I said, you can bring food for the food pantry. And they brought a small mountain of food. And it keeps coming in as they use the space. And so after we served the food pantry patrons this Thursday, the cabinet was still full. I've never seen that. And it nearly made me weep because I thought of that verse at the end of the story of the feeding 5,000 when they gathered up 12 baskets of leftovers. Everyone had enough. And there were 12 baskets left. I don't doubt we'll go back to wondering week to week. But once in a while, it's nice to think about those verses of abundance. God provides. But we must not stand in God's way. God is with us in the difficult times. But we must not discriminate. We must not ever fall into the trap of saying who's an insider and who's an outsider. Some of you know that I'm passionate about the issue of the children at the border. And I know the news media keeps calling them illegals. And of course, some people who cross the border are. But this specific set of children are choosing to risk death as opposed to certain death. And I think most of you know that in my last congregation, we had a sister parish partnership with a Lutheran church in El Salvador. And I would go down there at least once a year and visit this little church. And the worshipers, maybe they worshiped a quarter as many as we do. It's maybe 25, 30, 40 people. So we got to know the children. And when we went down there, one of the local pastors was usually always involved in doing a funeral for one of the children. But we went down there, and we were partners. We helped them get uniforms for their school, and books, and clean water. And my daughter grew up with their little children, and you know, they do all the things that little children do here. You know, they play with dirty farm cats, kick balls, and chase each other with sticks. And then Thursday night, I found out that one of the little children that our daughter grew up with, getting to know down there, was murdered. And it came home. All the children are God's children. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. All the children are God's children. By the mercy of God, we have what we have. And we're called to share it. By the mercy of God, we know that even the crumbs from the Lord's table will be enough to feed us. The Lord will provide the sustenance. And so when we come to Holy Communion today, I want you to think about the power that keeps us going, that keeps us loving, that keeps us serving. The crumbs from the Master's table. But it's not just crumbs. It is a foretaste of the feast to come. And that's the hope that holds us upright and together. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.